Will Pastor. I was here just before Christmas and heard his preaching, and kind of preaching that I'm used to and love. And so I thank you that you called a young man who loves the Word and preaches the Word. And we had breakfast, and then not long after that, spent a couple of hours hearing his heart, and he wanted to know how that he and this church could be involved in the association and convention, and I was encouraged by that. So, and he did call me Friday morning and said his grandmother was in serious condition, and he really wanted to stay, and I hope you understand that. I really do believe you do, that he said with the weather like it was going to be this weekend, with the snow coming in, he said he would really hate to be down here and then could not get back to be with his grandmother and the family. So thank you as a church family for loving on him and giving him that opportunity this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 6 this morning. Mark chapter 6, we're going to begin reading at verse 30. Probably 95% of the people in this auditorium this morning could tell this story. It's the story of the little boy with his loaves and fishes, and he gave them to Jesus, and we know what happened when he gave them to Jesus. Jesus fed 5,000 people. How many of you could tell that story? Let me see your hands. That's what I said. 95% of the people in here could tell the story this morning. Now, the miracle is important. No question about that. But so many times we miss the hidden messages that are hidden in the miracle. And so this morning, I want to talk about the miracle, but I want to talk about some of the hidden messages that we hear and we receive and we get out of this story of feeding the 5,000. I'm going to begin reading at Mark chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. The apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had been teaching. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a deserted place and rest for a while. For there was many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to even eat. And they departed into a deserted place by ship privately. The people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot after him into the cities, and outwit them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said unto him, this is a deserted place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into their own country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, you give them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And they knew, and they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in the ranks of hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken up the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he also among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you for this miracle, for many miracles that Jesus performed. Father, I believe in the Old Testament, I believe in the New Testament, I believe every story and every miracle and everything that happened in both of those testaments were true. But I believe, God, you're still in the miracle working business today. It didn't stop when the book of Revelation was finished, but you're still in the miracle working business. Father, the greatest miracle you ever do is transform our lives from being dead in our sins and trespasses and giving us life. And God, that's the greatest miracle that you ever perform, and you continue to do it. Father, I pray this morning that we would not miss the messages, the hidden messages out of this miracle today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I think the first message that I see hidden in this miracle this morning was there was a great amount of needs. There were a great amount of needs. If I would have taken the time to read the verses prior to this, we would have saw something that happened. And what had happened was that Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. And they'd taken his body and they'd buried his body. Just before the verses that I read this morning, that's what had happened. And so there was a need among, first of all, the disciples. And the need that was among the disciples were, they were grieved at the loss of John the Baptist. Because if you remember anything about the New Testament, two of Jesus' disciples were John's disciples before they became Jesus' disciples. So as our brother already said this morning, this church is hurting this morning because of loss of loved ones. Those disciples were hurting because a friend, a companion, a disciple maker was now dead and been dead violently. He'd been beheaded. But not only did it affect the disciples, but it also affected Jesus. If you again remember your Old Testament, your New Testament, remember a lady by the name of Elizabeth? She was John the Baptist's mother. And if you remember, Jesus' mother was named Mary. And Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. So not only did it affect the disciples that the message that John had died and died violently, it not only upset the disciples, but it also had upset Jesus. So one of the needs that was going on that day was among the disciples. And what it was, well, they were grieved. They were upset because John the Baptist, a follower and a leader, was now dead. They came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we want to tell you what we've been doing and what we've been teaching. Now, what had they been teaching? Simple. Jesus sent them out two by two and he said, tell the people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now what had John the Baptist been doing? John the Baptist had been talking about repent. He said, Herod, you need to repent. That's not the way you live. And so what did it cost John the Baptist? Come on, help me out this morning. What did it cost him? It cost him his life. It cost him his life. And now so these disciples are coming back and telling Jesus, you told us to go out and tell people to repent. And what did it cost John the Baptist? People don't want to hear the message of repent. People didn't want to hear it. Herod didn't want to hear it. The people in Jesus' day didn't want to hear it. And let me tell you a little secret this morning. People today still don't want to hear the message, repent, because we are sinners. They came back and they said, Jesus, we've been doing what you told us to do and we've been teaching what you told us to do. Should we change the message? Never change the message. The method may change. I was asking this morning, are you broadcasting? A lot of churches now are, because of the COVID, are doing on Facebook and everything else. The methods may change, but the message can never change. And the message that John the Baptist had, and the message that the disciples had, and the message that I have this morning is, you better repent, for the kingdom of heaven is still at hand. They told Jesus everything they'd been doing and everything they'd been teaching. And there was another need they had, not only a need of a loss of John the Baptist and worried about what they were preaching, but they were just exhausted. The Bible says, Mark says, there were people coming and going all the time. And we know that. In fact, we read this scripture, there are 5,000 men, not including. So there was probably 20,000 people there that day. They all came with needs too. The Bible says there were so many people coming and demanding all the time of Jesus and the disciples. The Bible said there was so much demand on the disciples and Jesus, they didn't even have time to eat. Now, when you stop a group of Baptist preachers from eating, that's a problem, folks. That's a problem. They were so busy doing stuff that they didn't even have time to eat. And let me say something right here. Ministry is tough. I've been in the ministry over 40 plus years now. And nobody understands a pastor like another pastor. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. I knew your pastor's young, this first church, y'all love on him, amen? And you support him, and you do everything you can to help him. Because let me tell you something. A pastor can go in a hospital one day and celebrate the birth of a newborn baby. And that same day he can get a call and said, Miss So-and-so, brother so-and-so just died. And so you go from celebrating with one family to mourning with another family, all in a 24-hour period of day. We love on you, young pastor. Thank you for allowing him to be away today. Because he needs your love and support. Because just like the disciples, sometimes he's going to be so busy, he won't even have time to eat. There were needs that the disciples had. They were mourning the loss of John the Baptist. They were worried about the message they were telling. And now they were so busy and doing stuff, they couldn't even stop eating. So Jesus said, guys, I've got a solution for at least one of the problems. And one of the problems is, let's just get away for a little while. Let's get in the boat and go to a deserted place and let's just leave the crowds behind. That was Jesus' suggestion. These guys needed encouragement. They needed assurance. They just needed time to get away and kind of refresh. Again, give your pastor time to relax. Amen? Give him time to refresh. Again, because ministry is tough. We see the disciples and Jesus' need, but we also see the crowd's need. The crowd's biggest need wasn't bread and fishes. Hear me. The crowd's biggest need wasn't fish and bread. Why did they go there to begin with? Why did they follow around, run around? It's amazing to me. Now, Jesus was with his disciples, and the majority of them were fishermen. They knew how to row a boat. They got in the boat, and they began to row, put up the sails, and they went straight across the lake. But the people ran around the edge of the lake and were waiting when Jesus got out of the boat. See, they were anxious. One of the needs they had was they needed a word from God. They needed a word from God. They needed to spend time with Jesus. Let me ask you a question this morning. How much time did you spend with Jesus this morning before you got ready to come to church? You see, their biggest need wasn't fish and bread. Their biggest need was they needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they were willing to outrun the boat to get there so that when Jesus got on the boat, they were ready and willing to hear what he was going to teach them. The Bible says he taught them many things. He looked at them and he saw sheep without a shepherd. What did the disciples see? A problem. We try to get away from these people and we get over here and the people are still here. They saw the people as a problem. Jesus saw the people as sheep without a shepherd. How do we see people? Homeless people? Hungry people? Dirty people? How do we see them? Do we see them like Jesus did, as sheep without a shepherd? Or do we say, there's a problem. Let somebody else take care of the problem. They had a need, and the greatest need they had wasn't fish and bread. The greatest need they had was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I am thankful, and I've been a part of it for the 40-plus years I've been in ministry, of churches that have food pantries and clothes ministries and all this kind of stuff. But let me tell you a little secret. Yeah, people need to be fed. Amen? I agree with that. People need clothes to wear. I agree with that. People need a place to live. I agree with all that. But the greatest need they have is not a physical need. The greatest need that people have is a spiritual need. And if all we do is put food in their table and clothes on their back and a place to live and don't give them Jesus, we miss it all. I grew up outside of Savannah, Georgia, and down in Savannah there's called the Baptist Center. Been there for forever and ever, longer than I've been alive. Brother Bean was the director of the Baptist Center for years. And it's been 40 years ago that I remember Brother Bean make this statement. He said, you know, the government says give somebody a new house, a new car and a new job, and you make them a new person. He said, you give somebody Jesus and they'll get that other stuff for themselves. They had a need, and the need they had was they needed this to spend time with Jesus. And so there was needs of the disciples, there were needs of Jesus, there were needs of the crowds. Let me ask you this morning, what's your need? Why did you come this morning? What's your need? What did you come because you had a need for this morning? See, we've already heard this morning, as the brother said, there's some here hurting this morning because there was a need of the loss of a loved one. COVID has taken a lot of good people away from us, folks. My father-in-law passed away early in the COVID. We couldn't even have a memorial service for my father-in-law. See, there are people this morning that are hurting. Maybe you're hurting this morning. Maybe you've got an emotional need this morning. Like the disciples, you're kind of questioning, God, what do I say? What do I do? Where do I go? Maybe you've got a physical need this morning. Maybe you're hurting this morning, physically. You see, one of the messages out of this miracle isn't just the miracle. There were needs. The disciples had needs. Jesus had needs. The crowds had needs. And I'm sure as many people are needed this morning, somebody's got a need out of this group this morning. The second thing that I see out of this message this morning, a hidden message, is notice the advice of the disciples. Did you notice what the disciples said? Three little words. Send them away. Jesus, our advice to you is just get rid of the crowd. You get rid of the crowd, you get rid of our problem. Didn't we come to get away from the crowds and now the crowds show up? Be careful. Be very careful that we don't send the same message. Send them away. Because you know what happens then? We feel like I'm not responsible for them anymore. See, the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus said, if you send the crowds away, then we're not responsible for them anymore. They're responsible for their own problems now. It's no longer our problem, it's their problem. We don't have any more responsibilities. We've given our responsibilities back to them and let them go find food for themselves. Let them feed for themselves. Let them do for themselves. See, the hidden message is the disciples didn't want to be involved in ministry. We already got away. We tried to leave. It's not our fault they came over here. We tried to get away from them. They're messing up our vacation time. We need to be very careful the messages that we give to people. We may not come out and say to them, we don't want you here. But if we're not careful by our actions, they may feel like they're not wanted here. You better be careful how you say it, too. We have four children, all grown and adults, and got eight granddaughters and one grandson. But when our children were small, and it was my wife's responsibility, so we had one son and three daughters, and it was my wife's responsibility to make sure those little girls had on their frilly dresses and their hair fixed and everything getting ready for church. It was her responsibility. It was my responsibility to make sure they still had those dresses on and the frilly hair when we got ready to go to church. One Sunday we were sitting there, and the two youngest at the time were taking turns doing something. I don't remember what they were doing, but I do remember what happened. They were singing, Jesus Loves Me. And it was Rebecca's turn, the youngest, for her to sing, Jesus Loves Me. And Tabitha didn't want to give up her turn. And so Rebecca looks at Tabitha and says, Jesus loves me this I know. Wait a minute. Do you think that's how Jesus loves? But you know what? We better be careful, folks. not what we say. We need to be careful how we say it. We can say Jesus loves you in such a way that they don't believe what we're saying, folks. The disciples said, our advice, just get rid of the crowds. If we get rid of the crowds, you get rid of the problem, we won't have any problems. Jesus didn't listen to their advice. He said, there's no need to send them away. You feed them. Let's feed them. Now, ultimately, who fed the crowds? Help me out. Who fed the crowds? The disciples. Jesus gave the food to the disciples, and then the disciples gave the food to the people. And every time they ran out of food, they went back to Jesus and got some more food. So when Jesus said, you feed them, they had no idea that they were really going to do the feeding. You feed them. It's your responsibility. Don't try to push it off on anybody else. You take the opportunity. He didn't listen to their advice. They said, send him away, get rid of the crowds. They said, no, there's no need to send him away. You're going to feed them. And then they came back, wait a minute, we got another argument here. Jesus, do you realize how late it is? It's 20 minutes to 12 now. You realize how far it is out here? I mean, there's not a Walmart within 100 miles of here. And do you know how much money it would cost us just to buy a little bit for everybody to get some food? Lord, it's late. It's far out here, and it's too expensive. You see, they came up with every excuse again why they couldn't get involved. We don't do that, do we? Sure we do. Did Jesus need to know how late it was? I think he could look at the sun and say, wait a minute, it's getting kind of late in the day. Did he know how far it was to the next Walmart? Did he know how much money it would cost for them to buy food? Did he know all that? Sure he did. He didn't need them to tell him all these problems. He just needed for them to help be a part of the solution. Listen to me this morning. We don't need to tell Jesus all the problems. We just need to be willing to be a part of the solution. Send them away. Get rid of them. Get rid of the responsibility. Get rid of the problem. You get rid of the problem and the problem will go away. Now, I'm going to get to the miracle, okay? But we miss too many messages when we skip over just getting to the miracle. Simple three little words. The best solution to the problem is just send them away. Now let me ask you a question this morning. What would have happened had Jesus listened to the disciples? I'll tell you the first thing. This miracle wouldn't be in the Bible. There'd be no miracle of feeding the 5,000. Because they got rid of the 5,000. All of our lives, we'd have never heard about the little boy with the fish and the loaves. Because it wouldn't have happened. You see, if Jesus would have listened to the disciples, this miracle would never have happened and not been recorded. I'm glad Jesus didn't listen to his disciples. In fact, he listened to the Father. Because Jesus said, I don't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. And so listen to me carefully this morning. We need to be careful not only what we say and how we say it, but we need to be careful to the advice we give. Because if Jesus would have listened to the disciples' advice, 20,000 people would have went home hungry. Who do we listen to? CNN? Fox News? Who do we listen to? That's not a problem with that, but let me tell you something. Who we need to be listening to is the Father. I've never gotten bad advice from God. Have you? I don't think anybody's ever gotten bad advice from the Father. Jesus said, guys, I appreciate your input and I appreciate your advice, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the Father. You see, when we have a problem, it's good to get good advice. Amen? But the best advice we can all get is the advice that the Father has for whatever problem we have. The problem was you got 5,000, 20,000 people to feel, and we don't know how to feed them. And Jesus said, it's okay. The Father knows how. I don't know how yet. The Father's going to show me how to do it. In fact, that's what he did. He prayed to the Father, Father, you bless the bread and the fishes. And then he gave it out. So be careful. Be careful who you listen to. When you have a problem, find advice. Find somebody. I was telling the brother this morning, I said, listen, my first church, I was a young preacher too. I'm glad I had some older men who said, don't try that. Be careful who you listen to, but more important, you better be listening to what God has to say. And then the last thing is the hidden messages, and this so many times we look over the little boy. The little boy came prepared that day. I don't know who packed his lunch. Probably in my imagination, I believe Mama probably did it. Mama said, son, you can go out and play, do whatever you want to do today, but make sure you take your lunch along with you. Somebody had planned for that little boy by packing him lunch. He might have packed it. I don't know, but somebody packed him a lunch. He went off following Jesus, and he went off prepared. How do we get prepared for church? As a boy, I remember how we got prepared on Saturday night. Mama would tell us three boys or four boys, get out the shoe polish and polish your shoes before you go to church tomorrow. Now, most boys wouldn't have to do that today because they wear tennis shoes to church. Well, one of the things that we, as boys, we got prepared by, we took out the shoe polish and we made sure our black shoes were polished ready for church Sunday morning. But you know what? To be honest, that's about most people how they prepare for church. What are we going to wear today? What are we going to go out to eat after lunch, after church today? To prepare to meet Jesus means, first of all, I say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that would keep me from hearing what you have to say today, please take it away. That's the first step. Lord, give me a teachable spirit today. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the answers, but I do know who have all the answers. So God, give me a teachable spirit today. I want to hear, Father, from you today. I want to hear what your spirit has to say to me today. And then notice not only the little boy had prepared his lunch, what did he do with his lunch? He gave it to Jesus. Wait a minute. Let's see. There's five loaves and two fish. So if I give Jesus three loaves and keep one fish for myself, then I'm still going to get fed, and I don't know what he's going to do with two loaves and one fish, but I'm going to keep part of it for myself. I'm a hungry little boy. I'm a growing kid. I got to have food too. Is that what he did? Did he keep part of the bread and keep part of the fishes? No, he didn't. He gave all to Jesus. How about us? How much are we willing to give? I got to keep a little bit back. You know, got a bill coming in. I got to, you know, can't give that tithe and offering this morning because car's got to have a new radiator. He didn't keep any of it back. He gave it all to Jesus. Every bit of it. You know what this story reminds me? It reminds me of the widow's mite. She gave all she had. Jesus didn't pay attention to the people who were throwing the coins in. He paid attention to the widow who gave all she had. This morning, how did you prepare to hear from God this morning? You spend some time in prayer. God, give me a teachable spirit. Forgive me if there's something in my life that's keeping me from being taught this morning. God, I'm coming this morning and I'm going to give you all I have. The little boy had no idea when he gave Jesus his lunch what Jesus was going to do with his lunch. But he gave it anyway. I want to be careful here. Even if Jesus had not taken the little boy's lunch and multiplied it and fed 20,000 people, the boy still would have gave his lunch. He would have still went home hungry, but he'd have been glad going home hungry knowing he gave what he had to Jesus. The miracle is that he fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the messages hidden in the miracle are as important as the miracle. I've been doing this for 40 plus years. And we have an invitation usually at the end of the sermon. And we're going to do that, but before we get that, if you tab your bulletin this morning, and if you got an ink pen or a pencil, take it out this morning. You see, we come to church so many times and we leave no different than we came in. So I want to give you, as we close this morning, if you need a pencil, there's a couple ink pens up here, okay? I want to give you 4 lessons this morning that are important out of this message. 4 valuable lessons that you can learn out of this message this morning. The first lesson is, start with what you have. The first lesson is what? What did they have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They didn't have 14 tractor trailer loads full of meals already prepared. They started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But somehow we get in this man, we can't do it until we have this amount of money and this amount of people. Amen? Let's be honest this morning. We say we can't do it because we don't have enough. How much is enough? 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's only one little boy's lunch. But he fed 20,000 people with a little boy's lunch. So don't use the excuse, when we get bigger, when we get more people, when we get more money, we can do it. Because you know what? You'll never do it. I pastored First Baptist Church, Richmond Hill, Georgia. God was blessing that church when I went there. We had, the first Sunday I was there, we had 90 in Sunday school. When I left, we were running over 400 in Sunday school. We had a sanctuary about this size, a little bit bigger because we had the walls back there were not there. We had a few more pews. We've gone to 2 morning worship services. I told the people, I said, you're killing me. I said, the church is packed. We don't have parking space. I'm preaching 2 sermons every Sunday morning. It's just killing me. We've got to do something. So I said, we need to get a new sanctuary, which we needed. So they said, well, let's pray about it. Well, we put the bids out, and the first bid we put out was, and this was in 1989, $1 million. So that building today probably cost $15 million. We had $100,000 in the bank. They came back and said, We'd love to have a new sanctuary, Pastor, but we can't do it because what we got to start with, we'll never meet it. First bid was $1 million, okay? I said, you know what, let's do. Saturday at lunchtime, you start praying. And you pray for 24 hours, and you pray and fast until we get through with the services on Sunday morning at 12 o'clock. So we started with what we had, $100,000, and we prayed and fast. The next bid came in, $400,000. We built a brand new sanctuary with offices and nurseries for $400,000. God knocked $600,000 off the bid. So don't sit here and say, until we get this amount of money and we get this amount of people in the church, then we can start do something. Take what you got and do it. Second thing is, whatever you have, just give it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. You know what? They only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But they gave it to Jesus. You got 50 people here this morning? Start with what you got. Amen? Start with what you got. Start with the boat that you have. Start with the pastor that God sent you. And give it to Jesus. And if Jesus can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 20,000 people, Jesus can do anything, folks. First lesson is what? Start with what you got. Second lesson is what? Give it to Jesus. Third lesson is this. Follow His commands. Follow His commands. He commanded them to sit down on the grass by 50s and 100. Now, I know Baptists. I'm one of them. You want me to do what? I'm hungry. And you want me to sit down here and wait for those guys to bring me something to eat? I ain't sitting down there. I'm going home. What would have happened if the people wouldn't have followed the command and sat down? Well, they got fed. If he says sit down on the grass, what are you supposed to do? Sit down on the grass. No, it sounds stupid. It sounds, you know, too hard to believe. Just sit down on the grass. Yeah, just sit down on the grass. Whatever he asks you to do, as ridiculous as it may sound at times, just do it. Sit down on the grass and wait your turn. Everybody's going to get fed. Lesson number one. Lesson number two. Lesson number three. And lesson number four is don't let anything go to waste. This part I can't wrap my little brain around. He took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, fed 20,000 people, and how much did they take up left over? 12 baskets full. Wait a minute. Even if they'd have just taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and not fed anybody and had 12 baskets full left over, that'd have been amazing to me. Let's let it sink in this morning. Let's just start with what you got. You got a wonderful building. You got wonderful people. You got a young new pastor. Start with what you got. Just give it all to Jesus. And if he tells you to sit down in the grass, sit down in the grass. And then if he says, take up what's ever left over, if there's 12 baskets full left over, praise God, there are 12 baskets full left over. See, the miracle was feeding 20,000 people. But the message was this. Don't miss God by limiting God. Let's pray. Father, I want to be careful in my Christian life that I do not say or do anything that would hinder anybody from coming to Jesus. God, I don't want to be like the disciples and say, send them away. And I don't want to be the one who sends them away, God. But Father, help me. Help me in my walk to be careful what I say and how I say it and how I act. The Bible says, if I offend one of the little ones, there would be better that a millstone was hung around my neck and I would drown in the deepest ocean. Father, help me not to offend anybody. Help me to love them like you love them. Help me see them like you saw them. You saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Father, help us all just to see what we have. If it's just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's what we got to start with. Just let's give it to you and see how you can use it and bless it and multiply it. And God, if you tell me to sit down on the grass and wait, God, help me to be willing to sit down on the grass and wait. And God, oh, when we do what you tell us to do, how many people will be blessed out of our obedience. 20,000 people, God, were blessed because one little boy was obedient enough to take what he had and give it to Jesus. This morning, Father, whatever we have, let's give it to you. Our time and our talents, our money, let's just give it to you and see how you can bless it and use it to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.